Blog Talk Radio.
You've been gone, it's an empty home. Come on back where you really belong. You are always welcome home, welcome home. You've been kept down for much too long.
Yes, that is right. Come with me on this happy trip to the promised land. And that is the mission. That is the mission of the Sankofa Repat podcast. And also the mission of the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. Hence the reason why we're having this discourse ever so often. We're heading to the paradise. And I want to welcome you to our podcast today. We're going to have a special guest later on, Brother RJ Mahdi, who is doing some great work in Senegal. And also, we will be having our very own Sister Ya. She's always on the podcast with us, and we're happy for that. We want to invite you to visit our website, which is sankoforepat.com, to get some information on our program, on our mission, and to find out how you can support and join us on this journey. We do invite you to consider to be a Patreon to contribute and support our efforts so that we can fulfill the mission of helping our brothers and sisters get to the African continent, set up businesses there so they could leave these businesses for their progeny, their children, their offspring, building lifelong legacy for your offspring. And that is the mission of the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. If that strikes a chord with you, we really do invite you to become a monthly Patreon contributor. We ask that you contribute as little as a dollar per month. And you almost can say anyone can do that. And it is true. We're seeing where a lot of our brothers and sisters are contributing a lot more. Who can, will contribute. And if you're not at that moment, now we could do more. We do, and we're happy when you contribute at least $1 a month. That is $1 per month. Thank you. Thank you very much. Just go to our sankofa.com website. Click on donate. So like I said, we're going to be speaking to our special guest later on, Brother RJ Mahdi in Senegal, doing some great work with the Made in Africa project. And we're going to be talking to him a little bit more later on about that. Okay, before I jump into that, I have this one little clip I want to play for you. And then we'll go ahead and I'll jump right into it. Let's go ahead and cue up this little clip here. Take a listen.
Are you tired of the rat race?
Are you even using that degree you spent so much money on? Are you overqualified for your dead-end job?
Are you overwhelmed with the high cost of living?
Do you still have more months at the end of your money?
So what are you going to do about it?
So what are you going to do about it? So what are you going to do about it?
So what
are you going to do about it?
Get over here. Spread your wings. It only takes imagining a new life to create one.
My name is RJ Mahdi, and I'm the CEO of Made in Africa Project. And we're here to invite and welcome you home to Mama Africa. To learn more about how you can invest, repatriate, or just visit, go to our website at madeinafricaproject.com and join us in building the African Renaissance.
That is our brother RJ Mahdi telling us about the Made in Africa project and inviting you to come and live a more fulfilling life on the continent. And yes, I said it, it's a more fulfilling life. And I could speak personally for myself. I was born in Jamaica, and one of the reasons why I'm not so much in Jamaica right now is that might be getting a little bit political, but you know, sometimes our leaders really don't have our best interests at heart. And we see where they drive the best minds out of Jamaica. And that's why I'm here. And whatever reason it is for you to seek a better life, trying to get to the promised land, land of paradise, where you can live more fulfilling life, whatever reason it is for you, we do invite you to come to Africa. Set up businesses there. You truly could live a better life. I'm going to bring on our own Sister Yah and welcome her to the podcast today.
Greetings, brother. How are you doing, family? All our listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome.
I am doing great. Always have to, always glad to have you here. I like that little bubbly spirit of yours. So infectious.
Thank you.
Not
I'm
a
excited
problem.
About today's show. I'm excited to what brother Ari tell us. Upcoming Africa Day 2020 in May and his new appointment as a roving ambassador. I'm just excited. This is going to be a great show today.
It is. And that was news to me actually today. So I'm kind of happy and looking forward to hear about that, the roving ambassador appointment. I'm really looking forward to that. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring on our special guest. Brother RJ Mahdi, you're on. Welcome to
peace
the program.
Blessings.
Blessings, blessings. How are you doing today?
We're blessed, man. It's hard to be anything other than excited when you wake up here on the west coast of Africa. The sun is shining, the ocean is near, and we're reaching our goals. So.
Must be a wonderful feeling. Must be a wonderful. I must say you're probably the lucky one to be
waiting.
Yes,
they
are.
Brother RJ, how you doing? It's with the eye.
Yeah, how are you? How are you? Blessed. How's it going? Where you are?
Okay.
Well,
let's
get right into it, Brother RJ. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, we're going to dig in right now.
I was just going to ask Brother RJ, yeah, because I know we're going to probably have some callers coming in with some questions. So we want to get right into it and ask Brother RJ, what made you decide to move your family from the United States to Senegal? What made you choose Senegal?
Well, Senegal has always been a place that's been close to my family. We've been a part of the Tijani community that lives here and has been coming here African American actually since the 1980s. So I first came in 2001 and stayed for a year here with Imam Hassan Cisse in Medina, and that gave me an opportunity to really understand Senegal's beauty, really. And so I left after that year, and I had always made plans to come back. So it was something that had been in my mind that I'd be back probably for good, even since I was a teenager.
Wow, great. That was good, though. I appreciate the fact that you were at least able to visit before, and you still kept it a part of you. So that's quite interesting that you were able to keep it a part of you.
That means that Senegal really left a strong impression on him at a young age.
Senegal is a country of what they call Taranga, which is hospitality. And so you see that a lot here. You see that in the families that welcome us here, the communities that welcome us here. And so when you see something of that magnitude, of that beauty, it's always attracting me back. It's always calling me back. So many of the people who are here now are know, the children and grandchildren of people who were coming in the 90s and the 80s. And so, you know, it's kind of that gravitational pull. You come and then you keep coming back, and then you stay for a while, some of us, and, you know, you bring your families, and, you know, so it becomes a part of our, you know, our legacies here.
Brother R.J. Mahdi, can you give us a little information on your background? What were you doing in here in the U.S. before you actually made that decision that it's time to go? And tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so prior to moving here, I worked mostly in media and marketing and advertising in the U.S. For years, I worked for NBA and MLB, doing sports marketing throughout the states. I did, you know, quite a bit of entertainment marketing and advertising even earlier than that. But it was always kind of a part of my career to use my talents to show the beauty of things, and particularly things that if I say less seen. So a lot of times in the States, you know, we find opportunities that don't go as noticed as they should. And a lot of times, those are the kinds of things that I you know, dedicated my career, my time to. When moving here, kind of just second nature that, you know, that's where I could be effective. So one of the first things that we did when we came here was set an advertising and marketing media firm and began showing the beauty of West Africa.
Okay, great. I did hear all the things you said a while ago. I'm wondering if the phone is breaking up a bit. Sister Ya, are you hearing the phone breaking up? Sister Ya? Okay.
I'm here. It is breaking up.
I'm pretty sure I was hearing it breaking up, but we'll press along though. Okay.
Our listeners to let us know if it's choppy for them, or we need to have Brother RJ to hang up and call back and see if we can get a better connection, because for me it's very choppy.
Yes.
So
I
if
can
the
hear
listeners
that.
Could to let us know. Are they hearing okay? Send us a message, comment, let us know if you can hear Brother RJ.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So, Brother RJ, how long have you been in Senegal now?
Going on 6 years.
Oh, 6 years, wow. That is pretty great. And how has the experience been so far?
It's been very rewarding. It's been an experience, a learning experience, a self-development experience. It's been an experience which thrives in the community activities, in the environment that we have placed ourselves in here, and the way that we participate with other repatriates and other movers and shakers and people who are a part of the development of this place. It's been very productive, and I think one of the best things to take away from it is the ability to actually unite and work together with our brothers and sisters here on the ground. And that's something that we've learned, my family and I, here over the last 6 years, is we have a lot in common. We have far more in common with our brothers and sisters on the ground here than we think. When we put ourselves in the position to work together, we notice those evidently.
I'm glad you spoke to that, the experience that you have there with even more so the locals there, our brothers and sisters in Senegal, because a lot of people are off the impression that, you know, we might not be treated fairly when we go there. So I'm glad you're able to speak to that.
Yeah,
go ahead, sister.
How a lot of people ask me, because children that active in Ghana, teenager, a 17-year-old coming from them to acclimate. But daughter, she
I think your phone is also cutting out to sister. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I was saying I wanted you to speak to. Can you hear me better?
Yes, you're better now.
Okay, I wanted Brother RJ to speak to how his children were they born there, or did they did you move there with them when they were young children? How has it been with young children? A lot of people ask me about this because they're repatriating. They have children. My experience was wonderful with my children. When I moved to Ghana, I had a teenage daughter. She was 17 years old at the time, and then I was, my baby was 3. And so, but they acclimated really well. They fit in really well. Didn't have any problems. I know sometimes teenagers, older kids, have a more difficult time acclimating to a new culture, new environment. But my daughter, she just fit right in where she, you know, she got in where she fit in. She didn't have a problem. So how has it been? Can you tell our listeners, those who have young children, how has it been, school for them, you know, were they born there? Or did you come there with them? How have they acclimated to living in Africa?
Yeah, I mean, so my children were both born in America, but since very young, they've been here in Senegal, and both of them learned to actually speak while here, and so you find a situation where your kids are just learning to speak, and they're already bilingual,
right.
Which is really
That's
amazing.
Beautiful.
And then you have a situation where there's a community atmosphere in which your children are able to, you know, learn from the locals and you know, people look out for them. And there's the environment that we all want for our families. And a lot of times we don't have those types of environments easily accessible to us at other places in the West. And so in migrating home, it's one of the healing factors about being here is to be able to raise your children in an environment around people who look like them, people who share a common ancestry and a common thought process, and around people who can not only teach them new things but learn from them. That's what it's all about. It's about putting our children in a place where they can be more cultured and be more in tune with their traditional selves and understand.
Yeah, and loved
you know,
on and accepted.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's for every culture around the world. I mean, you know, it's important for you to know yourself. And that's for any culture. I mean, if you're Italian, if you're Jewish, if you're, you know, Latino descent, or if you have, you know, if you're Asian, et cetera, everyone needs to know themselves. They need to know their histories and the makeup of their, you know, their DNA, so to speak, right? And so being here at home, your children have that much more opportunity to learn themselves. And so we see that in our children, and we're highly, you know, blessed and appreciative for that.
Yep. Oh, that's just amazing. And I take it they're enjoying it just as much there. I know that you spoke to the fact that you had visited Senegal earlier, so that might have been one of the contributing factors why you're there now. But are there anything else outside of that why you decided?
Oh, now, Dwayne, you're breaking up.
I am. And the funny thing is, both of you were sounding much better earlier.
Yeah. It's okay now. It's all right. It's okay.
Okay, good. Did you get the question?
No, I think what Brother Dwayne is asking, and I would like to know, too, is it you chose Senegal because of that earlier impression, or was there some other factors that made you say, yes, Senegal is the place and not say Ghana or Gambia or somewhere else, but it's going to be Senegal?
I mean, again, I felt, you know, the connection with Senegal and its, you know, way of welcoming. And so that was mostly the reason why I chose it specifically in the beginning. But the reason why we, work so diligently for the development of Senegal is because Senegal itself is working so diligently for its development. And we see an aligned purpose in Senegal. The trajectory of growth and the trajectory of knowledge intake and the way the government is aggressively bringing in investments and these types of things into the country it's motivating. And, you know, if we're going to build and be able to build something sustainable, we want to build in a place that's,
Repatriation City, Akibalon City, what is the actual name of the city?
Our repatriation city is called Akibalon.
Akibalon City.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so can you tell our listeners about that and how far you've come and how it came about and how they can get involved in that?
So Akibalon is a project that's born out of the needs that we identified for.
I don't want anybody to miss this, but it's breaking up very, very badly.
Yeah, it was
very, very choppy, brother. I don't know if you can move around and
maybe
you can get a better picture.
I think you guys have to also mute your phones while another person is speaking.
Okay.
The interference is also.
Okay, let's try that. Yeah, go for it now.
Can you guys hear me? Is it clear when you guys hear me?
Okay, I am
all
hearing
right.
You pretty good. So I'm gonna try what you said. Trying to go on mute while you go ahead and I give out information on the repatriation city. So I'm gonna go on mute.
All right. So the cable project is. Project that's born out of the need that we as repatriates here on the ground see for ourselves and others like us. It's a project that we put together after years of consulting repatriates and building investment projects here and covering certain media and events, etc. So we understood what was necessary for repatriates like us to live and sustain ourselves here on the ground. And so with the development group, we began putting together a project plan that included all of these sustainable needs. And that includes agriculture, that includes manufacturing and transformation of goods. That includes education systems, schools, that includes medical facilities with the kinds of technology and available resources that we are used to and that we understand are necessary even here and to provide these kind of resources not just for ourselves but for the communities, regions, countries, et cetera, that we exist in. And so as we began to put all of those resources and all of those solutions into one bucket, if you will, that bucket became Akibalon. And so over the past 2 or 3 years, we've gone at as a collective, putting all of our money forces together as the Al-Kablan Development Group. So there are multiple entities and members who all bring a certain skill or a certain resource, and we all put our heads together for this project. And so now we've identified land space that we want to call our own, and we want to build something sustainable for ourselves. And now, as we enter into 2020, our goal is to solidify those initial residents of that community, identify the initial businesses and development partners of that community, and break ground so that we can begin building our city.
Wow, that is very nice. I like how the planning, you know, goes along with it. You have pretty much thought this pretty good and thought it through before you started, you know, doing the work. And also you have a team of individuals who are involved also to bring different kind of expertise to the table and also resources to the table. So if there's anyone listening from the diaspora, how can they get involved in the project, whether they're bringing resources or they want to live there, have a business there, or they want to bring certain expertise to the table also?
Yes, yeah, so for those who would like to partake in the city's development from a development standpoint, right, you want to be a part of the business structure, the minds, the decision makers that are helping to create and develop the city, we asked you to join our Al-Kablan Development Group. And that group, you know, is a way to, you know, not only join on to the decision-making team, but put your own mark in the city and be a part of that city's development for the long haul. But you can visit our website at madeinafricaproject.com. There's a Relocate to Africa page and has an application for you to fill out if you'd like to join that development group. And we ask that you, come with your skills, come with your degrees, come with your experience, come with that, you know, that vigor that you have. So many of us, especially in America and in black communities, we've got so much fight in us. We've got so much energy. We want to place it somewhere that can benefit us sustainably. Many of us don't know where to put it. So a lot of times we're, you know, just kind of, you know, sending that energy out in the wrong direction. Let's channel it into something that actually has a format and something that has an outlook. And so that's what, you know, our city project provides. And we're excited about anybody that, you know, be interested in joining on with us.
Okay, cool. You know, talk about being a part of a project that you could truly, you know, truly feel that you are a part of it. You know, everyone else is like you, a similar mindset, you know, similar goals. That's a very good thing. And also I want to repeat the website where our listeners can get more information on the project. That is madeinafricaproject.com. madeinafricaproject.com. They will be able to get more information on the city.
Brother RJ, I want to ask you, yes, I want to come in here and ask you, how open and cooperative has the Senegalese government been towards this project? And have they been, you know, very receptive to it and offering any assistance? Or, you know, are they welcoming the diaspora to come and do this work?
Absolutely. The Senegalese government is very productive and proactive when it comes to inviting us here, and not just inviting us here, but making it easy for us to live and develop here. Number one, when I first got here, it was, you know, necessary to hold a visa. So you had to purchase a visa on arrival and renew it every 90 days or so. And, you know, that could be a headache, right? With you know, not too long later, the Senegalese government released that visa. It's no more visa. You can come to Senegal without that, you know, demand on you, which is another reason why we believe Senegal is a, you know, proactive country and a productive country as far as welcoming us home. They've already said you know, years ago. If you're a U.S. citizen, you can come. You don't have to pay a visa. In addition to that, the Senegalese government makes it pretty easy to become a legal resident or get residency. So it literally takes a day, less than probably about 10 U.S. dollars to go and apply for residency. Once you live here, you have an address, you can have residency within almost the same day or week.
Wow, that's awesome.
The way that, you know, they've made it easy for us. And then particularly with our project, we work together with a lot of high-level personalities here, all of which have pushed us with this project. They all feel like we're ahead of the game with what we're doing. They all feel like we have tapped into something that, you know, even perhaps, you know, they hadn't. And they're all telling us, you know, go with this. You know, this is needed. Senegal is ready for it. You guys are welcome. We appreciate your investment and your contribution. Push it and keep it going. And so that keeps us motivated. And so, you know, we've arrived at a junction now where we're able to, you know, maneuver here as family to the Senegalese people. Not, you know, segregationists, or not, you know, as if we're, you know, isolating ourselves, but we've integrated ourselves, and we've, you know, worked in the communities for years, and we've contributed to the schools and medical facilities, and we've worked together with people who are actually, you know, making strides here on the ground for the people, and so that shows that our position is, you know, for the people. We're all one. We're all a family. And so just like, you know, the different tribes and communities have their different areas and spaces here in Senegal, we look to have that as well.
Right. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. And it's good to know, because you know what? A lot of people are very concerned about, you know, residency and citizenship and how easy it is. And I'm very happy to know that, you know, in Senegal, they make it very easy for us to come home. That's wonderful news. So thank you so much. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are glad to hear that as well. So that's great. And I encourage all of you to, you know, if you're interested, to get involved with the our Cuba Line cities that Made in Africa is undertaking in Senegal. Get involved. Find out how you can get involved. Brother RJ, I'm going to take this opportunity to let our people know that Made in Africa has partnered with Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, and that we want to be able to get our brothers and sisters who, you know, over to the continent who choose Senegal as their choice, get you in our Cuba Line city to open up your business and get you established over there. I'm very excited about that. Brother RJ, you want to talk about this partnership that both of us have come to terms with?
Yeah, I mean,
and how we can help each other.
I'm more than excited to be partnered with you guys, because the mission that we both share is an important one. And you know, when I first, you know, encountered you guys, and what you were doing, my first thought was, wow, like they just filled a really powerful, necessary gap. And, you know, there's always a time when, you know, we have to be there for each other in ways that no one isn't, you know, and no one else is. And so you guys are that. And so, you know, being there as a support system for those who may not necessarily have the economic, support of their own, and for you guys to be raising those funds and contributing those funds to the deliverance of those people back home, that's a noble mission. And so, you know, being that we've placed ourselves as a door for the diaspora to arrive here on the soil, it was only right that we lock hands with you guys so that we can share the resources so that more people can, arrive through that door. That's what's important. So, again, I'm pleased to be partnering with you guys. I look forward to putting a lot of people back here at home.
Yes, we're excited about it as well.
Yep. So one of the things about the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, one of the main things that we will serve as a business incubator to ensure that all our repatriates, you know, are able to set up a business and ensure that it is a successful one. And I did watch some of your YouTube content where you did appear at one recent establishment in Senegal that was set up by another brother from here. Can you talk a little bit about that? Tell us about successful business that was set up and doing good there.
Yes, you mean my latest video was a dream?
Yes, I think it was a sports bar that was set up.
Okay, yeah, a dream. Huge, you know, huge progress for African Americans here on the ground. When you come here, you see so much diversity, but, you know, at times we don't see enough of our own, you know, contribution. And so Dream has become a huge symbol of that here. A brother named Andre Amos and his family, also the New World organization, and so they came and built this 3-4-story you know, restaurant, sports and bar complex, but not just for food and drinks, a business incubator of sorts, a technology hub of sorts, and the brother is you know, heavily invested in technology. He loves to bring innovative tech for use here, and so that's what the sports bar kind of embodies. So we partnered with them here for Africa Day 2020, which is coming up in May, to put together some pretty creative events, so that we can, you know, show our contribution as, you know, members of the diaspora here in Dakar. I was at Dream for their launch when the mayor of Dakar, the first female mayor of Dakar, came, and she was so impressed that she asked right there on site, like, are you guys going to make more of these? We need more of these around town. You know, it stands as a great, you know, success for us, for our tribe, as repatriates. So we definitely locked arms with them. Dream has also partnered with our Cable Line Development Group. So, you know, they'll also be members, to, you know, contributing to the development of our repatriate city here, and others like them here on the ground. So, you know, we will continue to champion those types of businesses. We have another member of our Cable Line Development Group was awarded by the U.S. Embassy here, U.S. State Department. She built a school here and has been teaching here on the ground in Senegal over 20 years. She just won a high level award for educators here in Senegal, and two other African American women who also own schools here. One of them, Sister Viola Vaughn, who was actually CNN Hero of the Year, I believe, in 2012. She built a school here called 10,000 Girls. Beautiful contribution by African American sister from Detroit. We got another sister here who built a school for infants and toddlers called Her Imagination, Sister Karima Abbott Grant. These African American women are here and have been here for years and have built establishment schools and have been educating not just young African American kids, but also young Senegalese children. And skill training and language and culture and, you know, technology and, you know, when we look at that contribution, we see that, you know, we're necessary here. We have a purpose. We can contribute, and we should if we, you know, have the resources to do so.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. I feel so inspired right now. Thank you so much for that. I definitely have to make my way over to Senegal really soon so that I can meet all of these wonderful brothers and sisters from the diaspora who are doing such great and beautiful things on the continent and uniting our brother. That's what it, our brothers and sisters, that's what it's about. Us coming to one, coming together as one race for the betterment of our people, no matter where we are, and educating these babies and letting them know that there's no difference. You know, we've had
that's
different
right.
experience based on
that's
our
right.
history, but we are one people. and then we will uplift each other. Exactly. So that is so wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, speaking of, you brought up Africa Day 2020.
Yep,
tell the people about that. Tell them we want to give them ample enough time to get these tickets so that they can participate. Because Sister Yah going to be over there representing Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program. So tell the people about Africa Day. Yes, tell them about Africa Day 2020, brother.
Yeah, so Africa Day since 1963, you know, formerly African Liberation Day, is the day that Emperor Haile Selassie and those African leaders signed the charter that we know today as the African Union and built upon that charter into today's development of the continent. And so this year, Africa Day 2020, we're hosting not just Africa Day itself, which is May 25th, but a full week of development-based conferences, workshops, tons of concerts, festivals, a parade, tours, city and regional tours, tons of events, art exhibit, and lots of resources for students, entrepreneurs, women, you name it. We've got an award ceremony set up. We're going to be honoring some African heroes, and just pointing out and highlighting and spotlighting those who've been working tirelessly for Africa and for the African development, not just here on the continent, but in the diaspora as well. So we have educators and entertainers and participants coming from all over the Caribbean. We've got one of which, the Steel Pan Band, coming from Trinidad and Tobago. We've got Dr. Eugene Barreto coming from the University of Cave Hill down in the Bahamas. We've got Taj Weeks, who is a UNICEF ambassador of goodwill and also a representative of the government of St. Lucia, is going to be coming out here. He's bringing 10,000 pair of shoes to give away to children here on the ground. We've got folks coming from all over the U.S. and Canada and the U.K., Brotherhood Academy, which is a rites of passage organization in the U.K., African brother, Black Brit. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. You know, there's a strong Pan-African community there in the U.K. and in London. So those folks are coming down, AGA tours. Lots of folks getting involved, even from all over the continent. Speakers, entertainers, participants are calling us, signing up, enrolling, registering every day. And we suggest that you guys do the same. We've got the links on our website at madeinafricaproject.com where you can register. You can get your lodging booked and all those type of things right there on the website. And right now, until the end of Black History Month, the registration and lodging is actually discounted. So the full week of events, right now you can get it for $225 on our website. Another deal if you want to add your lodging, et cetera. We suggest that folks get involved and come and take this time to meet up with Pan-African movers and shakers and supporters and lovers of the continent all at one time. We're going to be having the main day of events, May 25th, which is also Memorial Day in the U.S., but May 25th is Africa Day, so it's a holiday on both sides of the ocean. Here on May 25th, we'll have a live concert and festival at the African Renaissance Monument, which is the huge monument you see standing up in Dakar, the man, woman, and child outreached over the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes.
We're actually going to be right there at the base of the monument. That's where we'll hold the full day of festivities. If you've seen that photo or those videos or that footage circulating online and you've been inspired by it, come out Africa Day. We're going to stand right at the foot of that monument, and we're going to celebrate Africa and Africa's heroes. And we hope to see you all there.
Absolutely. Well, for the listeners, Sister Yah has been invited to be on a panel about repatriation and to discuss the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program during the Africa Day event.
That's right.
So I definitely plan to be there. And they, for all of you listening, a lot of other social, excuse me, brother.
I said, we also got Dr. Umar Johnson is confirmed to be there, so you guys come out and see the Prince of Pan-Africanism. He's excited.
Yeah, a lot of other social media of our social media influencers are, you know, on the list to be there. Dr. Mumbi and Black Sid and a whole lot of other ones. So,
the African superstar also.
Yeah, she told me that she was going to be there. Man, we're converging on Dakar Senegal, guys. May 25th on for the rest of the week. So I encourage everybody to get their coins together and so we can all show up and show out. Now Ghana did an excellent
Make sure y'all go ahead and make a deposit on your registration and booking before the end of February so that you can get the best price and deal on everything. Before the end of February, go on our website, madeinafricaproject.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. On the right, there's the actual form you fill out. You can get discounted registration and also discounted lodging. All you have to do is make a down payment. I think the lowest down payment is $250 or $225. So go on there, make your down payment. You can actually pay on it weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. You can set it up however you want to get it paid off before May so that you can make sure that you're in attendance.
Absolutely wonderful, beautiful. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the is there like a package deal available that takes care of hotel, takes care of travel, takes care of entry and admission to the events?
So we have a package right now that's $19.99. It includes your 7-day lodging for two, and you're also your registrations for two for the full week. We've got a family package, $399, which covers four people, all of your lodging for the week and all of your registrations for the week. We've also got package deals right now for folks who want to be vendors. I think $899 if you pay for it before the end of February. You can be a full-week vendor for $899. Come out and be at each event, set up your table, your tent, show off your products, your business cards, network with people, taste testing, whatever. Bring your black businesses. Bring your fashion line. So a fashion show. If you're a fashion designer, get involved. The fashion show registration is $449. You can also pay for that directly on your own website. You know, get involved. I mean, there's so many different ways you can get involved. We don't right now have packages, but look for those coming up here perhaps next week or so. We may be able to get you guys on flights, but for now, go ahead and book your registration, lodging, so you know, the hotel rooms will fill up the flights and those to you if you don't want to book them yourself. But you know, get that done before the end of February to take advantage of the best deals.
And brother, are you still accepting more sponsors for the program?
Of course. On new sponsors and partners every day. We've got two TV networks that are going to be covering the event. One's in 40 countries. The other one's in 70 countries. We're going to be we're taking on sponsors, of course. If you'd like to get involved and be a sponsor, again, you can go to our website, contact us there directly at madeinafricaproject.com, or you can email the coordinator, assistant coordinator Nima Sarr, at africaday2020@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get you involved.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's outstanding. I look forward to it. I can't wait. So, guys, join us in Senegal for May Africa Day 2020.
Yep, that is taking place in May.
I'm looking forward to seeing all of you guys there, man. The lineup is growing so fast every day. I'm like, I can't wait to meet all of you guys one time as we really put our heads together and really sit down and, you know, put our stamp on this new African development. We can't let anybody get to it quicker than us more than us or more aggressively. It's our responsibility. This is the first step.
Yes, Brother RJ, I made a post on Facebook today and I said the 70 babies on up are getting ready to light Africa up. It's a new day. It's a new age.
Right.
We are turning this thing around for the continent and for our people. So I'm very excited. Mm-hmm.
us, right? There's no excuses at this point. I mean, the information is there. You know, the resources like what we do and like what you guys do is already there. There's no reason that somebody should say, I don't know how to get involved with Africa. I don't know how to come home. I don't know how to come
right.
visit. I don't know who to call or who to look for. We're here. We planted our feet firmly. We're partnered with government agencies and high level organizations on the ground. We're solidified. We're proven in what we do. And so
they just have to support
us.
We're putting the infrastructure in place for everybody to be active and involved on the continent. But our people have to support it. That's the thing.
That's right.
You have to get involved and support it. We can't just sit at home and wish these things to happen. We got to put our money where our mouth is and support.
Right.
So true.
This is the generation being proactive. Like we told them, 2020 is the year of pressure. Like
brother,
way through everything we got to do. Pushing through this year.
I had a conversation with a brother just recently, and I said, you know, other races of people think generations ahead. See, we as a race of people have to get over wanting this immediate gratification. You know, how am I going to benefit? We have to start thinking about our children and our grandchildren and what we're going to leave behind for them. And this is the mindset that our people have to get out of. Listen, you invest
time
now.
To dig
you
our feet
invest in something
we
now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you invest in something now with the idea that I might not personally reap the benefit of, but guess what? My children and grandchildren will.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we have
right.
to start to build, and we have to build a foundation today. The house might not be finished for another 30, 40 years, but your kids will reap the benefit of it.
And that land is yours. It's not something that's subsidized. It's not something that's leased. It's not something that's mortgaged or financed. It's not something that, you know, you might lose in 99 years. It's not something that, you know, you can't bank on. It's yours.
Yeah.
Sustainable.
Yeah.
And as we know about real estate really appreciates. And a lot of us are investing our money in real estate, especially in places like the U.S., where your real estate, you know, there's a high possibility that you will not make it through the 20, 30-year financing that they give you just to own that land. So you probably just paid 20 or so years of premium, right? So here you have an opportunity to earn land or purchase land with as little as a couple $1,000s. I mean, we have plots of land in our cable line, plots of land for $2,000. $5,000, $10,000. You purchase that land. That's your land. You own it.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's something that even if you pass, you know, your children can say, hey, you know what? My father, my mother owns land in Africa. Let me go and build on that land. Let me make a property on that land. Let me go and resell that land now that it's cost more, you know, because it's appreciated. And so that's an investment that you can count on. And we want to encourage our brothers and sisters to make wise decisions. Especially right now in the U.S., it's tax season. Everybody's getting a tax check, $2,500, $3,000, $8,000, $10,000 or more dollars, depending on your setup, right? But then what are we going to spend that on? You know, a used car, you know, some electronics, you know, a new wardrobe, right? Let's put that in something that appreciates so that you have something to look forward to when you're tired of that rat race and you're tired. You know, that cycle of, you know, economic misfortune. We have to consciously change our environment and consciously change our trajectory. And that's what this project and the projects that we've built here all support. We invite you guys to come and take part.
Yes. And speaking on that land, let me tell y'all something, guys. The best thing you can do for yourself is the price of land in Africa is skyrocketing. I can speak on Ghana in particular. The price of land is not going down. It's going higher. We bought some land. Yes. The price that we got our land for in Ghana is like in 5 years, it's three times that now. And it's steadily going up. It's rising. So you cannot go wrong with getting yourself some land in Africa.
I have clients here that I consult that purchased land in 2016 at around $2,500 for the plot, And 1 year later, at the end of 2017, sold that same plot for $6,000. And there's no land even in that area anymore. Even if you wanted to go over there and buy land, you can't.
You see?
It's all purchased.
Brother RJ, that's what's happening. The land that we have. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Go ahead.
The new purchaser of that land, right, who bought it for $6,000, is now ready to sell it for $12,000.
Wow.
This is another year and a half later.
Okay. Wow.
That kind of flip, you don't even see that anywhere else. Like, people are just buying land.
Right.
The
price of land is just rising astronomically on the continent of Africa. It's just amazing. Well, even in the area where we have our land, it's the same situation. The people buying up land, I don't even know if you can. My husband's brother just told me there's no more land over here. You know, everybody in the development that's coming, the development that comes, people build a house. I keep trying to tell our people over here, you guys don't know what you're missing out on, and you're going to mess around and wake up, and it's going to be 20, 30 years, and you're going to be absolutely left out. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
So I that's what we're doing right now. We're ringing the bell. Yeah. We're saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, get up. We're the alarm clock, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing
too,
about it is the taxes, I'm going to let you come in, the tax situation on land, are you supposed to pay taxes?
Yeah.
The taxes are so nominal, so small, so ridiculously small.
Yeah, that is what I was just going to ask, because I did.
Yeah,
let
me make this point. I'm going to let you come in, Brother Dwayne. I want to make this point.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't take your land because of it. First of all, the taxes are super, super small. So
super
ridiculously,
small.
I'm talking about minimal.
But
they do not take your land because of it. Over here, if you miss your taxes, these people come in and sell your land, your property, and they will move somebody and you know, for a little of nothing on your land, but it doesn't happen. So I just want our people to know. But go ahead, Brother Dwayne.
That kind of partly answers the question. One, you're saying that the taxes are low, and then two, you don't have that issue of them placing a lien on your property when you don't pay your taxes for 2 years, as that is the case here in America.
I let Brother RJ speak on Senegal, but in Ghana, nobody gets that land taken because of tax.
It's the same here, though. Same.
Okay.
It's the same,
Okay. Great. I noticed that on, let's try, I have one other question regarding the Africa Day event happening in May 2020, this year. From the 25th to the 31st, I have one question. Are there any live concerts and nightlife as being a part of this event? Can you speak about that?
Absolutely. Part of the event is showcasing and celebrating African art. And so that includes, you know, obviously our musical contributions. We've got performers coming from, again, the islands, from the States, from Europe. We're going to be releasing a full list of those entertainers shortly, but we're holding off to get, you know, the list where we want it. But throughout the week, there are nightlife events that will be happening, old school homage to hip-hop event. There's a Caribbean event. There's a Mbalak and Afrobeat event. And so, you know, we want to try to, you know, show our different creative contributions in music and in these things. And not just music, even. Again, we're doing an art exhibit, history of the black man exhibit. And so there'll be other creative ways that we'll be showing, you know, what kind of contributions Africa has been making. You know, we even encourage artists and entertainers, if you know, have that love for Africa and African people, you know, reach out to us. Come down. We'll put you on stage and let you, you know, show your appreciation for the continent. That's what we're all here for.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Wonderful. So, go ahead, brother.
It was not too long ago I turned to someone and said one of the biggest genre in music right now is Afrobeats. And sure enough, 6 months down the line, it is one of the hottest music right now, Afrobeats.
Yeah. Afrobeats is making waves right now around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Brother RJ, let's move into this new appointment you just recently got as a roving ambassador for the state of the African diaspora. Let me first congratulate you on your appointment, your new appointment.
Thank you.
And then let me ask you about the state of the African diaspora, because are they in any way affiliated with the African Union? Are they recognized by the African Union? And in so,
absolutely,
what is their role?
Absolutely. So the sixth region is what I've been appointed an ambassador of. And as most people know, Africa is separated into five regions: North Africa, South Africa, West Africa, East Africa, and then Central Africa. But in 2003, at the end of the AU summit, they declared that there should be a region of that African Union for members of the diaspora. There's somewhere between 170 and 250 million members of the African diaspora around the world, which I think would be something like the third largest country in the world after China and India, if they added up the numbers. And so in December of 2014, former president of Mauritania, who was president of the African Union at the time, appointed a prime minister for the sixth region. And since then, they've been building the state of the diaspora, which is an actual state recognized by the African Union. And so what they're building now is the ambassadors and the team that will be representing those constituents around the world. So Prime Minister Louis George Ten is taking, you know, really big strides with that. He's already put together a pretty strong team, leadership team, Secretary General, Vice Prime Ministers, one of which is actually from the Gambia, which is right down the street from Senegal, as many of you know. It's our neighbor. They're rolling out a mandate that is going to be not only helping to build our heritage closer to the continent. They're working on restitution of colonial treasures, which are those art and artifacts that are around the world that were stolen from the continent. They're working on programs for defense and territory and finance, and making these kind of moves that are necessary for members of the diaspora. When you think about us around the world, especially in a lot of Western countries, we're just kind of, lost individuals. We're kind of living in somebody else's world, in somebody else's environment, and we don't really have a structure that represents us or that connects us to home, and that can be the speaker, of our needs and of our concerns. And so this sixth region of the African Union, the state of the diaspora, is that. So when Secretary General and the Vice Prime Minister reached out to me and pretty much, told me they, have been watching and they were supportive of all the moves that we were making, and that, they extended the nomination. I was, obviously humbled and flattered, but it's something that is to be taken seriously, because, that voice, has to exist. Somebody has to be the speaker of those individuals who are, kind of supportless, right? They don't have that support system. So we've been doing that anyway. It's already, what we've made our life work. So taking on this new position just adds another, layer to that. And, I'm excited to get to work on it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, mm-hmm. Wonderful. And congratulations again. So for those who are listening, I just want to capture what you said. So there's the African Union, which everybody's familiar with, which has six regions, the African diaspora being the sixth region. We are included in the African African Union as the sixth region of the African Union. And under the sixth region, there is the state of the African diaspora. Is that correct, brother?
That's right.
Okay. So for those who want to know the connection of the state of the African diaspora to the African Union, that's the breakdown. Okay.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on that position as a roving ambassador. We are very, very happy to have you represent us in the sixth region
mm-hmm.
as our ambassador. Congratulations.
Honored. Thanks a lot.
Yep, I like the idea of the the sixth region and the being the ambassador of the diaspora, because I really feel that it's truly needed, because me here living in diaspora, you know, where's my roots? And this makes me feel so much more associated with the continent and so much more connected.
And it dispels this rhetoric that keeps going around that Africans don't recognize us as African people, or that they don't include us, or that they don't
mm-hmm.
think about us.
That's
this dispels all of that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are a part of the African Union.
That's
yes.
contrary to what we hear on the ground.
Cool.
Exactly.
Yep. So we do have a caller here. We're going to put the caller on and try to see
okay.
if our caller has a question for our guest. Caller, you're on. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Joshua Lott. Can you hear me just fine?
Yes, I'm hearing you, Joshua. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Hello, Sister
cool.
Ya. Thank you again for your for allowing me to allowing us to have this opportunity to join the Repatriation Assistance Program. And thank you, Brother RJ, for all that you do as well. Just a little bit about myself. I'm a chiropractic student. Well, I just graduated from chiropractic school. And I want to know, is there a opportunity for chiropractors to build a health and wellness clinic in West Africa? Is there a need? Is there a desire for it? And if so, how would I be able to sustain that type of profession out there?
Man, that's a great question, brother. And welcome to the show, and thanks a lot for your words. Chiropractic, man, that's an incredible skill and something that is highly needed here on the ground. When you look at right now, among the top necessary needs here in especially Senegal and other West African countries, medical services and support are among the greatest, you know, needs for productive development. And chiropractic, you know, work is no different. You see a lot of instances where people here have certain accidents or ailments, and because there aren't access to those type of services, you know, at affordable, you know, rates and nearby and in most populations and cities, those kind of things go uncorrected. I could definitely see somebody like yourself setting up, you know, clinics or, you know, operations here that can contribute to that field. And you'd likely be the go-to guy. Not sure if, you know, all of your experiences and credentials, but coming from the West, I'm sure you've got, you know, the necessary skills to do it, and that will probably put you to the top of the list for those to go to for the service.
Okay.
Thank you,
Angela. Absolutely. And if I can add, the more of us that are going, you know, from the West, from the Caribbean, from South America, who are accustomed to having those types of services, they're going to need it. So your absolute brother RJ is right. The local indigenous people need those services, and then our people who are going will need somebody like yourself to provide
those
services.
That's correct. So, Joshua, I want to thank you for calling. Listen and continue to listen on to our podcast. Okay, so we're going to move to our next caller. We have a couple callers. We're just going to go ahead and make sure that we're able to get their questions. Caller, you're on. Just please state your name and where you're calling from. Again, you're on. Yes, please state your name and where you're calling from, and let us know if you have a question for the guest.
Okay, yeah. My name is, well, I'm not going to use my name. My name, I call myself Ruta. I'm calling from out of New York. It was very difficult to hear everything RG Mahdi was saying, but I just have a quick question because I already talked to Sister Yah about we're going to be in Ghana next month in March, and I'm supposed to be getting in contact with her as soon as we hit ground. But I have a quick question. How much, you know, I'm ready to do business now. When I hit the ground in Ghana, I'm ready to purchase land. I'm ready to build. We just start business right now. I'm sitting there. So what I want to know is that when I get there next month in March, maybe this is probably more for Sister Yah, how much would I need if I wanted to purchase land in March and start maybe building a home or start a small business? How much money would I need to do that?
Okay. It was breaking up, but I heard. I think I could make it out. You asked me how much money you need for land, and brother, it depends. It depends. Land costs vary, just like it varies here. It depends on the area in which you purchase the land. If you try to get some land, say in Cantonment or East Legon, it's going to be very expensive. Or Airport Residential, it's going to be. We could be talking millions of dollars. Whereas if you go out into Kosowa, it could be $500. You see what I'm saying? So that's not a question that's easily answered. It just depends on where you buy the land. It depends.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
If you go to Cape Coast, it's going to be cheaper. If you go to Kumasi, it's going to be cheaper. You know, it just depends on where. So I can't say to you a flat price of $5,000. I cannot. I can never say that. You have to get over there, decide the area that you want to be in, and that's going to determine what the price of the land is going to be. And also what you can negotiate. They might ask you for $1,500, and you may say, well, I got 12 for you, and they may take it. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends. There's a lot of variables and factors, you know, in there. So it's not as easy as all that, brother.
And that's why, just to follow up.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that's why what we, you know, provide with our Investors Club is the support system that helps our brothers and sisters to identify those types of opportunities. Because like Sister Yah said, these prices vary extremely. Same thing here. If you purchase in Gore, Almaty, maybe up in the millions. But if you purchase out in, you know, different regions, down in the hundreds. But the more important thing is to know, you know, everything about that land that's necessary. So it's not just you walk out, you see a field of dirt and say, hey, okay, I want it. You know, what's it sitting on? Is it buildable? Is it near water? Are there roads nearby? Is it power nearby? Can you get your paperwork for it? Or is it, you know, something that you're, you know, looking for in the future, right? So all of these things matter, and that research takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes a team that's well knowledgeable in the field. And so that is what our team does here on the ground for the past 4 or 5 years. We've run an investors club where our members have access to our, you know, eyes and ears here on the ground, and we're able to actually broker those type of deals for them and, you know, get them all of the information that they need in advance so that they can see their options. And then when they're ready to move on those properties, we actually help facilitate. And even when it comes to building and transferring that land later, we help with those things as well. So if you need those kind of services, especially here in Senegal, we've got Sister Yah there in Ghana and other, you know, team members. Let us know. Perhaps you can become a member and we can assist you with it as well.
Yes. And also if you know how much money you want to spend, and you want some land in Ghana, I do have some connections, you know, some reliable connections to help you acquire land in Ghana and get your paperwork done and everything. I do have those connections as well in Ghana. So, but again, brother, yeah, you just have to, it's just too many variables, and I would never sit here and just tell you a number and throw a number out at you because it doesn't work that way.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we'll be meeting up with you, Sister Yah, next month when we hit the ground in Ghana.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you for checking in. Okay. Hello?
I'm here.
Dwayne? Yeah, I'm here too. Let's see if he...
Okay. I think a lot of folks have the same questions like my brother just had, which are, you know, if I get there, how much do I need to hit the ground running? And this is what I tell, you know, many of my clients and people I consult is, more importantly, know what you have and what you can put together. You know, if once you, you know, liquidate your assets, your belongings in the U.S., you get rid of that, you know, used car, you sell off those electronics and you make your weight a little lighter, right, but your pockets a little heavier, right, then you know what you've got left. And, you know, I know it's, you know, difficult getting here alone, right? That's a cost right there alone. And so then you have to figure out what do I have left after that. If it's $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, whatever it is, know that amount. And so you can then begin to find opportunities that fit within it. And, you know, there is pretty much something for every budget. But, again, you know, the less you pay for land, the more you'll probably be isolated or, you know, somewhere, you know, in an uninhabited area, right? The more you pay for land, you'll probably be in more. So these are things to consider. Do you want to be in an area right now, or are you just purchasing land that you're going to come back for 5 years later? Right?
Yeah,
then you can purchase it in a little more isolated area.
A lot of these areas might be isolated today, but when those developers come in, just like the land we bought, in 5 years, there's no more land for sale, and houses are popping
that's
up
right.
everywhere. And it started out
that's
with
right.
just us over there, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah.
Brother RJ,
we see it all the time.
Yeah, Brother Archie, I did notice that you mentioned you have your investors meeting earlier. For us in the diaspora who want to be a part of that, are they able to join by video conference or so? Is that possible?
So for those who'd like to join our investors club, you can reach out via email, madeinafricaproject@gmail, or go on our website, madeinafricaproject.com. And, you know, we'll walk you through the steps to get enrolled, the application. But, you know, it's important to understand that, you know, that's for those who are serious about making the next steps, right?
Yes.
You know, for those who are confident that they are going to, you know, take progressive steps towards that repatriation or that investment. Because you know we don't want to be stuck in a how I wish mentality.
Say it nice, brother. You being nice. We not pussyfooting around. We're moving.
It's important.
So if you're
it's
ready
important.
To move, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I clearly saw that caller earlier. He was ready to move. Again,
yeah.
Confirm that email address to get in touch is AfricaProject@gmail.com.
It's Made in Africa Project at gmail.
Okay. Starship Made, MADE. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Also, I want to give out some information. We have a chief from Ghana who will be speaking at our event coming up in May. That Sister Yah will give out some information later on. That's May 16th and 17th. We have a chief. He will be speaking on the issue of 5,000 acres of land. 5,000 acres
Man,
of land that is allotted for us in the diaspora. And that
that's
is
huge.
Called, that is the African project in Ghana. And that is the land that you could get, as in get, at a minimal cost. You probably have to just pay the application fee and you get some land in Ghana. So
mm-hmm.
we have this chief, he will be speaking.
But again, like Brother RJ, we're it's not just getting land to say you got it. We want people coming in to ready to build.
That is part of getting this land. You have to do something with it within a certain period of time. If you don't do anything, I think it's built in where it goes on to somebody else who wants to do something with it. We have one caller.
Yeah. This is about serious people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And people who are ready to see, you know, some changes and do something different than what they've been doing. So if that's you, then definitely show up at our event in May, 16, 17, Brother RJ, I hope you get somebody from Made in Africa to attend and
absolutely.
Talk about what you're doing over there. Yes, absolutely.
Our development group members will be in attendance.
Okay, wonderful. You see, I see how we're working together? This is not competition.
Sir.
We're working together. This is what I want black people to understand. We all going in the same direction. All roads lead to Africa. So we going to get there quicker by working together. Y'all understand that? So
we're actually considering building an outpost there for our El Capitan city. So two of our top ADG members, one is our budget and finance director, is actually going to come sit down and collect some data and try to see how we can, you know, pool our resources to help develop that place, man. We owe it to our continent to contribute to the development, and that's what we're here for, man. That's it.
Brother RJ, let me tell you, I was contacted by some people out of Nigeria. They have 100 hectares in Abuja that they're like, listen, do you have any people to come develop this land? So they're ready to give this land for development. I told them, sir, I said, well, because they're ready to rock and roll. They're not playing. And I said, let me talk to some people because I don't want to put it out there for people who just want to play around, pussyfooting around.
Mm-hmm.
Africa is looking for people who are serious and ready to make some things happen and to do some development. So, Brother RJ, you and I get together and talk about that 100 hectares in Abuja afterwards.
That land has been
offered to the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, but they're ready to rock and roll. They want some stuff going on that land.
Nice. So we have one other caller online. Caller, please state your name and where you're calling from. Let us know if you have a question for a guest. Okay,
please.
Caller. Yes, please. You're
greetings.
On.
Greetings.
Oh, okay. So I'm online.
Oh, yes. You are.
Please
say your name,
on,
where you're
brother.
Calling from, and let us know your question.
Okay, I'm calling from Philadelphia, Mark P.
Great.
All right. So I was listening about the state of the African diaspora, or something like that.
Yes,
region,
there's an
African region.
Yes, and the African diaspora is the sixth.
Right, I wasn't sure if that question was answered. I got a couple of questions, actually. I wasn't sure if the question was answered in regards to was it recognized by the African Union, or is it just an organization that was formed, and how were the people selected or elected? That's one of the questions that I had.
Okay.
Yeah. So great question, brother. So what the state of the African diaspora is it's an official region of the African Union, and what they've done is put together the leadership and the contributing effort to the development of that complete state launches next year the actual full state rollout. We're actually coming with the African diaspora, ICE, Diaspora came about on July 1st of 2018. So that's when it actually became a formal state, July 1st, 2018.
Okay, great. Carla, do you have a second question?
I'm having a hard time making out. It's like real choppy. A lot of what you were saying, it sounds like you said it wasn't official. It's officially recognized by the African Union. It sounds like that's what you said. I think I heard you say that. My question also would be that how is it that you're mobilizing the African diaspora and other organizations such as the UNIA? I know our President General Cleo Miller is very instrumental in getting, you know, the Africans and America and around the world organized to work that black print of Marcus Garvey. And so how is it that you're working on that, connecting with other organizations, and are you in different cities like Philadelphia? How do people connect up?
So before Brother RJ answers, I'm going to thank you for calling.
That's
Carla, really just listen your call. Listen to the answer while he provides it, okay? Go ahead, RJ.
So, yeah, Mark, that was a really good question, and which is really funny. I'm from Philly, too, man. I was born in Philly, West Oak Lane, actually. My family actually still lives there. But the goal of Africans in the diaspora has always been to return to Africa. And, you know, Marcus Garvey is a huge example for us in that. And a lot of, you know, what we do is based on, you know, those principles. And at least to cultivate the relationships that are necessary for us to understand our land and our ancestors and, you know, build that common dream. So the state of the diaspora, the sixth region, that's a huge part of the objectives. Is to reunite, to reconnect, to re-educate, to re-bridge that gap between those of us who are scattered around the world and those of us who are here on the ground. And so that's one of the main reasons that Prime Minister Dr. Louis George Tin reached out to me was because of the work that we were already doing to bridge that gap. We were already representing that bridge to educate our brothers and sisters around the world, to provide them resources to come home, to help them to get involved in economic development here, and to invest here, and to invest in exports and these kind of things. So that is a huge part of those goals. And if you really look at the African Union as a whole with all the other regions, that's what they're there to represent for their specific regions, right? So the West African region, their objective is to make sure that those West African countries have good positioning, they can afford certain resources, and they have certain defenses and protections and allegiances, et cetera. And so this sixth region state of the diaspora provides as well for those of us who are scattered. And so being here on the soil...
I don't want to cut you off, but our time is up, and
yeah,
we want to thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much. Thank Hope for Repatriation Assistance is partnered with the UNIACL under Cleo Miller. We want to thank Brother RJ. Our time is up. We're getting ready to cut off. Thank all our listeners. You can catch the – it's gone off. Did it go off, Dwayne?
No, we're still on. I think we just lost Brother RJ. Yes, we did. Lost Brother RJ. But go ahead and talk about the event that we have coming up in May.
Yes, I just want to say thank you all for listening. Thanks again to Brother RJ. We've lost his call. We had some technical difficulties. It was going in and out with the chop, and on everybody's part. Sometimes I will be choppy. Sometimes the callers will be choppy. Sometimes our host, Brother Dwayne, was choppy, and it was just listeners, today was not one of our best, but we will continue. We'll bring Brother RJ back on in the future to give us an update on what's going on with our Keepalon City as well as Africa Day. We want you all to come and attend May 16, 17 here with us in D.C. We have the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program African Cultural Expo and Gala, wonderful, which the President General of UNIAACL will be in attendance and speaking. Again, like I said, we have partnered with the UNIAACL along with Made in Africa, the Kunta Kinte Foundation, Ministry of the Future in Ghana, so many other wonderful organizations. Get your tickets. It's going to be a wonderful, splendid two-day, spectacular two-day event here in the D.C.
Yep.
area. It's a fundraiser. Get your tickets on Eventbrite. This is going to help us to push the mission and the message forward. We have a dynamic brother coming on next Saturday, guys. Do not miss. This is Brother Chase Frazier. He hates to use that name, but he'll tell you what his African name is. Next Saturday, he's a PhD candidate here at Howard University, and he's going to be telling us about our people, what's going on with our people in Colombia, Afro-Colombia, and their situation. It's very dire. I think it's important that we get to hear what's happening to our people and their conditions all over the world and how we can help them and how we can unify as a race of people for the upliftment and empowerment of our people. Our brother Chase and I are just actually talking today about setting up an SRAP office in Colombia. He said that he knows 100% that they are just going to jump over it. They tell him all the time when he's there, they want to go home, and home for them is Africa. They know that they are African.
Mm-hmm.
They are not delusional. They are not in Colombia talking about we indigenous. They are saying we are African people, and we want to go home, okay?
That's true.
Check in. Make sure you tune in next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get your tickets, guys.
Get your tickets. Get your tickets. One thing I want to stress about this event that we have in May 16th and the 17th is that we're going to have some wonderful speakers giving out some valuable information. So that is one of the main things.
Absolutely.
So get your tickets, and it will serve as a fundraising event also to help us to get to our mission much sooner, which is repatriating our brothers and sisters and setting up businesses on the African continent. Sister, yeah, just a side note, I want to let you know that I'm in a hunt for my African name. So if you have any suggestions, do let me know.
I'll get with you on that.
Yeah, I want to throw away this name. So send me some suggestions.
Okay,
great. So I want to thank everyone who listened today and also will call in on a special, special thanks for our guest. We lost him in the last portion of the show there, but we're very grateful that he took the time out to share with us all this valuable information. And we look forward to seeing him in Senegal in May for the African Day event. So, yeah, thank you very much also for bringing us all together under the Sankofa Repatriation
Assistance.
Until
next time, my brother.
Until next time.
Black
thank
power.
You, guys. Black power. There you go.
Bye-bye.
All right.
You've been gone.